7.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In California, emergency crews working to rescue victims trapped following an avalanche at Lake Tahoe's Palisades Ski Resort.
It's unclear how big the avalanche was, but Palisades Tahoe, formerly Squaw Valley Ski Resort, confirms that avalanche did occur and searches are underway. Both sides of the mountain are closed. Heavy snow has been falling in the area. It was apparently in bounds of the ski resort. Ambulances have responded, and there are reports of skiers being trapped under snow.
ABC's Alex Stone. Hunter Biden making a surprise appearance today at the House Oversight Committee hearing. It comes as the Judiciary Committee is also weighing a resolution to hold Biden in contempt for defying a subpoena last month to sit for a deposition over his business dealings. Hunter Biden says he wants to testify publicly. In Iowa, the stage is set for tonight's final debate before next week's caucuses. Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis qualified along with former President Trump. He leads in the polls but won't participate. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer in response to human trafficking is introducing 11 bills to increase awareness, impose tougher punishments, and to make it easier for victims to sue traffickers in Wisconsin. It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. Governor Evers says increasing shared state revenue with local governments was his proudest accomplishment from last year. For example, he says smaller communities can now offer more responsive emergency services.
If the crew's out on an issue, that's it. If somebody needed help after that, they're screwed.
Evers speaking with Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The first winter storm this week dumped several inches of snow across all of southern Wisconsin, with some locations getting nearly a foot of snow. Richland County was near the center of the heaviest snow, with some local reports close to double digits worth of snowfall. The lingering effects of the snow prompted a handful of delays this morning for schools. Overnight tonight, another 1 or 2 inches of snow will fall across the state, and later this week, another winter storm system is projected to bring several more inches of snow to Wisconsin. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Representative Derek Van Orden are leading the effort to rename the Tomah VA Hospital in honor of a Wisconsin veteran. The hospital would be named for Jason Simkowski, a Marine who died after dealing with addiction to opioids prescribed by the Tomah VA. Jason's law was passed after his death to change opioid prescription guidelines and pain management services for veterans. Co-sponsors of the legislation introduced yesterday to rename the hospital the Jason Simkowski VA Medical Center include every senator and representative from Wisconsin. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. It's now number 15th ranked Wisconsin against Ohio State tonight. The game in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center. Number 11th ranked Marquette at home taking on Butler. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys Sunday. Dallas, 7.5-point favorites to win. Matt LaFleur still has confidence in his defense.
When we have all 11 doing their job and playing as one, there's been some pretty good performances. It's just whether it's communication or somebody has a missed assignment, that's when bad things happen.
Now, the first time Mike McCarthy faced the Packers, the Cowboys blew a 28-14 lead. As Aaron Rodgers led the Pack on a 31-28 win in overtime, McCarthy had this to say.
We were totally in control of that game, as far as our viewpoint. And I felt when we got the ball that we were going to go down a score and then see what happens. So I'm very disappointed for the players because I thought they definitely did enough today to win.
That's Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Cloudy and calm today, with temperatures in the low 30s, slowly dropping to the upper 20s. By this evening, more light snow pushes in, bringing around an inch by tomorrow morning, and the next snowstorm striking Friday, with heavy accumulations expected once again. Currently, it's 28.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, second hour, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Well, there's trouble in the Republican Party. In the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson worked out a deal with Chuck Schumer, and it was endorsed by Hakeem Jeffries. Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, of course, in the Senate, Hakeem, the minority leader in the House, and Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. And what it did was it funded the government for this coming fiscal year. Funded it, I think it was $1.66 trillion. Defense, domestic, an additional $69 billion, a handshake deal between Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden back in the spring. The $1.66 trillion was more than a handshake deal. That was the agreed legislation. Republicans tried to weasel out of it. Kevin McCarthy hung on it, hung into it. They threw him out of the speakership. Steve Scalise tried. He didn't make it. Emmer of Minnesota tried. He didn't make it. Finally, Mike Johnson made it. Now, Mike Johnson has this sort of, choir boy sheen to him. You know, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Seems like a very, very, at least to them, to the Republican caucus, like a good garden variety right-wing Republican. There are some odd things about Mike Johnson. For one thing, he doesn't disclose a bank account. Claims he doesn't have a bank account, but he doesn't complain that somehow his salary isn't being deposited somewhere. Kind of an unusual guy, socially very conservative, has essentially denied the separation of church and state, very problematic. I didn't know what to expect from him. Well, what he did was, in negotiations with Schumer, he agreed to continue to honor the deal that McCarthy and Biden had struck, to honor that deal, $1.66 trillion and then $69 billion additional domestic spending. It was a tough deal. It didn't take into account inflation, so it really implies a real reduction in spending. Because if you don't at least increase spending by inflation, you've reduced it. But Biden and Schumer and Nancy Pelosi before him and Jeffries were willing to do that. McCarthy was willing to do it. Now Johnson's willing to do it. You know, there are some right-wing nuts in the Republican caucus, and now they are starting to spew their venom. And here's what's happened. There was a closed-door caucus meeting where the right-wing nuts decided to unload on Mike Johnson. Chip Roy, he's a real piece of work from Texas. He sort of looks like Lenin, He's an unpleasant, frankly. I don't like looking at him, to be honest with you. I just don't like looking at him. He said that he was considering another motion to vacate the chair. Well, it only takes one congressman to bring that motion, and it's essentially a privilege resolution, so it has to be voted on. Mike Johnson would need 217 votes to stay as speaker. He only can lose two and still achieve that. There are so many right-wing nuts in the Freedom Caucus that Kevin McCarthy lost eight of them. I think that Johnson would lose the same amount, and he would need Democratic votes to stay on as speaker. And the question would be, do the Democrats want to bail him out, as weird as he is? Because at least on finances, he stuck to the deal. If I were in the House, I would say, let's keep him in. He's no damn good, but he's better than all the rest of them. You know, when you have a gang of thieves, you take what you can get. Let's put it that way. But I don't know what they'll do. Bob Good of Virginia, who is a really doctrinaire right-wing nut, says, why aren't you fighting harder to Mike Johnson? Mike Johnson says, well, wait a minute. I've got a two-vote majority. 18 of his people were voted in districts, Republicans, that Trump won in 2020. So what do you expect? If he decides to cut what, Social Security, decides to cut Medicaid, decides to cut spending, in any substantial amount, it's sort of bare bones. Most of the spending is going to the military. Most of it. Most of it, 800 and some odd billion. It's only less than that, under 800 billion is going domestic. And most of that is non-discretionary. There's like a little sliver that's discretionary. However, there's a guy named Warren Davidson, Republican, and a real bad guy from Ohio. And you think, wait a minute, I know the bad guy from Ohio. That would be Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. You're right. He is a bad guy from Ohio. Well, there's another one, Warren Davidson. There's a lot of them. There's more of them than you can shake a stick at. He sort of stalked out. He goes to Johnson, this is drivel, he says, and I'm tired of surrender. We're talking about America here. We're talking about financing our government. What do you mean surrender and drivel? So you got guys like Warren Davidson, Chip Roy, you have Bob Good. You think those people are going to vote to keep him as speaker? He's going to need Democratic votes if they have the guts, quite frankly, to try to remove him. Now, there's a lot of difference of opinion on whether you try to save his speakership. When Kevin McCarthy got the axe, he easily could have gotten eight Democratic votes. He'd already negotiated a clean resolution, a continuing resolution, the no poison pills. And he talked to try to win over the nuts. And it doesn't convince anybody. They knew he wasn't one of them. But he also was untrustworthy. And the Democrats said, hey, you spent the whole weekend insulting us on national TV. The hell with you. We're not gonna give you any votes. And then out he went. They try to put in Scalise, who's bad news. Scalise, at one time, it appeared at an event with a Ku Klux Klan. I'm not kidding, Louisiana, Ku Klux Klan guy. I mean, this is 2024, you know. Let's get over that, guys. Oh, but he did. He didn't make it. Then Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. Everybody hated him. Even the Republicans didn't trust him, hated him. Some very, very awkward questions about how much he knew in the wrestling room and all that. He didn't make it. Emmer didn't make it from Minnesota. He was halfway sane. Not completely sane. He was halfway sane. And then you're left with Mike Johnson, who's a man of mystery. A man of mystery. So I don't know what's going to happen. One thing to keep in mind, the speaker decides what goes to the floor. If the speaker doesn't want it to go to the floor, it doesn't go to the floor to be voted on by everybody. If the speaker wants it to go to the floor, it goes to the floor. one minor exception to what I just said, any member of the House can introduce what's called a privileged resolution. That has to be debated in 48 hours. But when you do something like that without the consent of your own leadership, your own party will sink it. So it's a futile effort. What this means is that Mike Johnson has agreed to submit a budget on the floor for voting that needs 217 votes. The fact that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries approve it means that it's going to get 213 votes, which are the Democratic votes. That's what that means. That's exactly what that means. So they lead four more votes from Republicans. Now, in fact, not only will they get four more votes from Republicans, but I think they'll get about 150 votes from Republicans. Why do I say that? Because when Mike Johnson rammed through the defense bill, the final vote was somewhere in the 350s, 360s, and it comprised roughly 150 Republican votes. So when your own speaker lets a bill be introduced, and it's something that you know is necessary, and you know that your constituents want it, especially if you're in a district that Biden won, and you're a Republican, you're all over that. You jump on that. So he's already done his job by assuming this goes the way I'm saying it will likely go. He has already done his job in keeping the government functioning through 2024, at least through the fiscal year. I think it ends September 30th. If he is a sacrificial lamb, if they decide to throw him over the side, they can only do that by a resolution, a motion that gets to be voted on by everybody. And then Hakeem Jeffries and probably Schumer and maybe even Mitch McConnell going to get together. And I think what's going to have to happen is that Jeffries and the Democrats say, look, you've done the right thing here. This is not the time, by the way, for them to hang on and say, okay, I want Medicare for all and voting rights and all that. That's not going to happen when you have a Republican majority, but they can get other accommodations from him. They can, for instance, get a pledge from him that he will not try to shut the Capitol to the vote on certification of the presidential election. He might also, for instance, get a pledge from him that he won't vote to decertify the votes of any state if the governor and the secretary of state have signed off on them. That's the kind of thing he should deal on. And it may be that I'm misreading this guy. I don't know. He talks the talk, but it may be that he's a younger guy. And we have younger guys call the station. You know, Cam from Nina's a younger guy. There are others. And younger guys think a little differently. And they're the wave of the future. Younger people in general. It may be that younger right-wingers are not as weird as the older right-wingers in terms of decertifying the government or defunding it, decertifying elections. I don't know. On the other hand, he was the guy that led the fake elector thing in the House to try to keep Trump in. So I do not trust him. I'm approaching him warily, but at least here's some good news, and his own caucus is against him. Coming up, a DA race in Milwaukee with an excellent candidate. Stand by for the information.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on News from the Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM, WRCE.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a development in the DA's office in Milwaukee County. My friend and an excellent prosecutor, John Chisholm, has decided to retire. He's not running for re-election. He's one of the best in the country. He has unnegotiable integrity, ramrod straight, plays it like he should, prosecutes crimes. Just an absolutely excellent in every respect. Personal integrity, excellent. A lot of speculation about what he's going to do. I think he'd be a great federal judge, be a great state Supreme Court justice, be a great judge, be a great law professor, be a great U.S. attorney. He'd be a great a lot of things, whatever he wants. But after November, after that election, there'll be a new DA. And who's it going to be? And I'll say this, in terms of statewide interest, most people that are listening to me and most of the people in the state at one time or other visit Milwaukee. It's the biggest city, the city of Milwaukee, biggest county. If you go to a Bucks game, you go to a Brewer game, you go to the state fair, you go to anything, a lot of conventions, just come in for theater. Excellent theater, excellent repertory theaters, several of them, ballet, symphony, opera, theater, it's excellent. But if you come here, you'd like to know that it's well run, and it is, and that includes having a great DA. John Chisholm has endorsed somebody, and I second that endorsement. It's a guy named Kent Levern. L-O-V-E-R-N, Kent. He's the chief deputy DA to John Chisholm. Now, he's the number two guy in the office. Been there a long time. Absolute integrity. Absolute knowledge. Now, this is an office with well over 100 lawyers. You can't run a law firm of well over 100 lawyers without having a lot on the ball. And he's the guy that's sort of the executive officer that does that for John. John Chisholm. Now, here's the deal. This is a guy that may not be opposed, and if he is opposed, so what? I think he'll win. He should win. Remember something. What he has done and what he said, he gave an announcement just now that he's running. I haven't mentioned his name before because I wasn't sure he was going to run, but he is. He says that he will address violent crime, continue to do it, and John Chisholm's done a great job with this guy's help. He said that's non-negotiable. Primary is August 13, if one's necessary. General is November 5th. Kent Levern has prosecuted more than 800 cases. They range from misdemeanors, felony domestic violence, the high-intensity drug trafficking task force, prosecuted for them. In 2008, he became the chief deputy, and he oversees the homicide unit. That, in the vernacular, would be murder. Okay. He was a finalist in 2021 to be the U.S. attorney, the federal prosecutor in Milwaukee. He has a great reputation, so I strongly endorse him. And it's something else that I'll say is this. Frequently, in especially municipal elections, you get lots of candidates and people have lots of political views and this, that, and the other thing. The DA is somebody that has to be above that. You can't have this all be about petty politics. You have to have somebody who knows what he's doing. somebody who has absolute integrity and honesty and experience. If you go to a surgeon, you don't want him or her to, you're the first person they ever operated on, or the second or third. You want somebody who's operated on 800, and that's what Kent Levern has done. You also want somebody who knows the composition of the office, the strengths and the weaknesses of each of the prosecutors, and where resources should be applied. The fact is that Kent Levern is also very, very conscious and involved with interface with the mental health system, interface with the legislature of both parties, simply to make sure that we get the right resources in Milwaukee. You know, at one time, and this is true not just in Milwaukee, this is true of DA's offices around the country. At one time, DAs were moonlighting as bartenders or waitstaff, waitresses and waiters, because they got paid so little money. And finally, the legislature opened up its strength, the purses. But the truth of the matter is that they're very, very underpaid, and many of them could get a lot more money in the private sector, and they don't do it. But you absolutely have to have good leadership. You have to have good leadership. And John Chisholm is of the belief, and I am too, that you would get that with Kent Levern. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're up. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, thanks for taking my call here, Matt. I just wanted to touch bases on one thing, a little concerning to me. I think Joe Biden is doing a great job as president, but the only headwind I see at this time is the border. And I really don't think the Republicans want to fix it because it's something they can run on. Now, Kamala Harris was down there, and for whatever reason, she couldn't seem to get that fixed down there. But do you see, I hope I'm wrong here. Do you see any hope for, and I wish I had the answer, and I really don't. We need people, but... And the economy is bad down south there. But do you see any hope for the Democrats trying to get something done down there? Because I really, really think that if President Biden can get that fixed somehow, I think he cruises to re-election. So thank you, Matt.
That's a really, really good point. Yeah, you've made it, I think, one time in the past, and it didn't get the attention that it deserves. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a make or break issue. You know, in New York right now, you have them putting migrants in high schools and then having the kids go to class on Zoom, and the parents are very angry. And I'm as angry as they are. And it's not just the fact that they're being bused to Chicago and New York, but if you were in a border town down there like El Paso, there are people just lying in the streets. There has to be a change. And right now, there are negotiations between the Democrats and Republicans to free up aid for Ukraine and for Israel contingent on a border deal. I'm strongly in favor of that. I think that that is actually a favor to the Democratic and Republican parties in the country. There is a hang-up. The hang-up is what's called humanitarian parole. Right now, the president, by simply executive order, can say, I'm going to grant humanitarian parole, and he can let in anybody he wants. The problem with that, and I trust Joe Biden, but the problem with that, you do not want large populations coming in, especially from the Middle East, Africa, and Asia, but even from Latin America, who frankly are going to cause a lot of problems in this country. And most of these immigrants, quite frankly, are economic immigrants. It's not a question of their being persecuted. So I think there has to be some movement in the Senate, and I'm thinking that that will occur. I'm looking forward to it. Coming up, Trump on NATO. You won't believe. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get to you right after we get back.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. States can apply for grants to build safe wildlife crossings. It would be helpful in Wisconsin, which is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with animals. In the meantime, experts are urging drivers to be more careful.
If you're in an area where you know there's a lot of wildlife, the best thing and the most immediate step you can take to prevent wildlife vehicle collisions is to slow down.
Jeremy Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. Yesterday was by far the snowiest day of the winter season, but Muscadet got the most snow of all at 12 inches, according to the National Weather Service. Plain, Benton, and Dodgeville in southwest Wisconsin were also in the double digits. Madison got 7.5 inches, while Green Bay got closer to 4. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Representative Derek Van Orden are leading the effort to rename the Toma VA Hospital in honor of a Wisconsin veteran. The hospital would be named for Jason Simkowski, a Marine who died after dealing with addiction to opioids prescribed by the Toma VA. Jason's law was passed after his death to change opioid prescription guidelines and pain management services for veterans. Co-sponsors of the legislation introduced yesterday to rename the hospital, the Jason Simkowski VA Medical Center, include every senator and representative from Wisconsin. The first winter storm this week dumped several inches of snow across all of southern Wisconsin, with some locations getting nearly a foot of snow. Richland County was near the center of the heaviest snow, with some local reports close to double digits worth of snowfall. The lingering effects of the snow prompted a handful of delays this morning for schools. Overnight tonight, another 1 or 2 inches of snow will fall across the state, and later this week, another winter storm system is projected to bring several more inches of snow to Wisconsin. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. It's now number 15th ranked Wisconsin against Ohio State tonight. The game in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center. Number 11th ranked Marquette at home taking on Butler. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys Sunday. Dallas, 7.5-point favorites to win. Matt LaFleur still has confidence in his defense.
When we have all 11 doing their job and playing as one, there's been some pretty good performances. It's just when, whether it's communication or somebody has a missed assignment, that's when bad things happen.
Now, the first time Mike McCarthy faced the Packers, the Cowboys blew a 28-14 lead. As Aaron Rodgers led the Pack on a 31-28 win in overtime, McCarthy had this to say.
We were totally in control of that game, as, you know, as far as our viewpoint, and I felt when we got the ball that we were going to go down a score and then see what happens. So I'm very disappointed for the players because I thought they definitely did enough today to win.
That's Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Cloudy and calm today, with temperatures in the low 30s slowly dropping to the upper 20s. By this evening, more light snow pushes in, bringing around an inch by tomorrow morning, and the next snowstorm striking Friday, with heavy accumulations expected once again. It's 27 degrees at our studios.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Metflin Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are loaded. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Bill?
I heard you talk about the time on the border, and if you brought this up, I apologize because I just turned on your show now. But I don't know if you heard the latest and greatest about Greg Abbott. When Greg realized that these planes that were coming into New York and all that was organized, and they were taking care of the immigrants, he, by design, started sending them in all different places without notifying anybody. They had a system that was working. And Abbott said, well, we can't let that happen. So he created more chaos. That's not enough. Here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. On Fox News, they found out that the immigrants that were in New York are working with a lot of Uber drivers, so that Uber driver gets time off, and then the immigrants drive for them. They said, and I quote, Uber delivery. They were using scooters. You know what Fox said about the scooters? They showed the scooters. Fox said, oh, they're all stolen. BS. They're lying through their teeth. To make sure this becomes a problem for our country, they won't take money. They won't take help. They just wanted to destroy America. Thanks for letting me speak my piece, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for the good call, Bill, as always. Stay on the line, everybody. I'm getting to you. Stephen of Green Bay, you're next. What's in your mind today, Stephen?
Hi. So a couple thoughts. First thought, and this is the smallest of the two, is I kind of find it funny that immigration becomes a problem anytime there's a Democrat in office and the Republicans are trying to get reelected. So that's what I'll have to say about that. Secondly, and I wanted your opinion on this, Matt, because I respect your opinion and I think you're very in tune and informed when you give your synopsis, and I've called your show and told you that before. So thank you again. But
thank you.
The two-party system obviously isn't working in this country. We obviously need to do something different. What that something different is, I don't know. But I think something different does have to happen besides right and left is what we have right now. What says you? What is your thought process on that?
Yeah, thanks. And I'm going to respond to that and then get to the other callers right now. It's an excellent question. I, frankly, am a supporter of the two-party system, and here's why. If we were in Europe in a parliamentary democracy, there would be what was now the Democratic Party would be the center-left party, the business Democrats, and the squad, the progressives. The right would be center-right business Republicans, and then the Freedom Caucus and the Social Issue Caucus. And then they would split into others. For instance, the progressives would split on foreign policy between Israel and Hamas and all that. I don't think that's effective, because what happens then is nobody wins. You have to put coalitions together and elect the prime minister. And then the prime minister has to dissolve the government and call elections if he loses majority. For warts and all, for better or worse, the two-party system has worked. At one time, the Democratic Party was the slavery party, segregationist. Now it's the liberal party. The Republicans at one time were the abolitionist party under Lincoln. Now they're the extremely right wing. So there is development, but you do have the Liz Cheney's and the Adam Kinzinger's, and then you have people in the Democratic Party who stand up to the far left. I think ours works, and we're the most powerful and, frankly, influential country in history. And so I'm a two-party guy, but thanks a lot for calling. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Joe?
Hey, Matt. I just wanted to further comment on what you had said previously about Hunter Biden and his insistence that if he testifies to Congress, that it needs to be in an open hearing and not behind closed doors. And you've elaborated the reasons why he didn't want to do that. I guess I find it very comical. There was another chapter that was released in that that saga, which is that apparently Hunter Biden showed up today at a House Oversight Committee hearing to decide whether to hold Biden in contempt of Congress for refusing a subpoena for a closed-door deposition. Never mind, as you pointed out, that Jim Jordan and many other Republicans have also refused to honor subpoenas when delivered. But apparently she had a bit of a meltdown, and I guess I hope I'm not treading on kind of rude territory, but I thought it pretty amusing. She she being Representative Nancy Mace of a Republican out of South Carolina, had a bit of a meltdown and was yelling at Hunter Biden when he showed up and was at this hearing, sitting there with his lawyer, and said, you know, what are you doing? You have no balls to come up here today. And I guess I found that just kind of amazing, Matt, in that Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene has showed plenty of pictures that shows, yes, he does have balls without a doubt. So I guess she was speaking perhaps not literally, but figuratively, and even figuratively. I thought this is a really smart move, because as one of the Democrats just said, well, he's here. Ask him what you can hear from Hunter Biden. It was Moskowitz said you can hear from Hunter Biden right now. But of course, that isn't what they wanted. They didn't want to hear from Hunter Biden in an open public forum. They instead wanted to have this meltdown. But I guess, you know, this is where we are is, you know, yesterday right. It was talks about in the courtroom about we can assassinate political enemies. And today it's meltdowns about you have no balls when I don't know, Matt, that's where we are. And maybe a good sense of humor is needed to get through these times. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Joey. You know what's great about your calls, that one in particular, can you imagine having this conversation 20 years? I mean, who in God's name would think that the Congress could be so degraded? Really, who in God's name? Excellent call. Thanks a lot for calling. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next.
Joe is hilarious. You go, girl. That was so great. I've got a couple of points today. First, about the Hunter Biden. First, they issued a subpoena. If I understand right, they issued a subpoena that he would testify in open blah blah blah, and then they changed it. Well, right. You know, they can do whatever they want. You know, the Department of Justice, after them doing that, is not going to go after him. So, you know, do whatever you want. They're not going to bother. You know, Hunter will be fine. And then one of your last callers was talking about the South. And I hate to say it, but you know me about Democrats. Where is Kamala Harris campaigning for Joe about what the Democratic Party is finally going to do for the southern states, especially the black women? Black women will decide where this country goes, because if they show up to vote, everything changes. So yep. Where are they talking about? Kamala needs to do her job, especially too with the border. Kamala is in charge of the border. That's what Joe did. Where's Kamala? You know, instead of where's Hunter, where's Kamala? And my last point, I think his name was Cam early in the show, the young man. I agreed right. with everything he said. Cam, please, please ask other people you know, friends your age and whatever, to listen to this show. We need more young people. I don't know how many more years to vote. I can't straighten this mess out by myself. You know, we need the young people. So, Cam, get your young. Oh. And CJ, too. CJ, if you're still listening, have some of your young people call, because I would just like to hear their point of view.
Good call, Andrew. Thank you very much, as always, my friend. Appreciate it. Okay, up next, Tom of West Allis, my friend. What's in your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon. I had to look this up again. We're talking about the Republicans trying to come up with a plan for the border. This was reported a week and a half ago, that representative from Texas, Troy Nels, told CNN that he would not vote for a bill to solve issues at the border because it could help President Biden's approval ratings. He says, let me tell you, I'm not willing to do too darn much right now to help a Democrat and help Joe Biden's approval rating. So that's what we're facing here. They cannot work together. They have to. This is just like WWE wrestling. You know, we always have to have some kind of conflict rather than people looking out for us, or for us, the country, that we could make things better here.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. In other words, it takes two to tango. And if the Republican Party secretly, well, look, they wouldn't even promote the military, fund the military. They're already holding up civilian appointments to the military to help our war efforts. They are out to do anything, even if it means hurting the United States, to knife Biden. That's, it comes right down to it. And so the fact that somebody like Mike Johnson's has agreed to a budget through September, they turn on him as a traitor. They're the traitors. They're the traitors. Frank of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Frank?
Well, since Muhammad Ali isn't around anymore, you're the greatest. there's so many things I want to say. That guy who said the Republicans never bring up the border when they're in power, and it's a mess down there. 5 years ago, I heard there are 15 million illegals. Now, was that the Democrats' problem? The Democrats' problem? Then, besides the big lie, the second big lie I hear in this campaign is Trump was a brilliant president. Does anybody remember the unemployment? Does anybody remember the pandemic? Does anybody remember him running after the dictator of North Korea and writing him love letters? If Obama had done that, they'd have kicked him out in 5 minutes. There's so many other things. He was a horrible president. He spent the last 6 weeks trying to sneak his way back into office. Why wasn't he worried about our country? And you say it best. He's not a patriot. He's a horrible, horrible, horrible person. And I don't know if there's a worse person in American history. We probably have to go back to the Civil War. But there were fewer people then, and the damage he's done is so much greater. Unbelievable. He was a good president. Doesn't anybody remember what those four horrible years? When he was president, I was hoping we had a golden retriever. I went down to a cockroach for a president instead of him.
Frank, I love your passion. You're right on the money, by the way. Right on. Right on, Frank. You're absolutely right. Right on. Well, just disclosed, just recently, just in the last couple of days, by the French European commissioner who witnessed a conversation between Donald Trump and the woman who is the head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. You've seen her. She is the head of the European Commission. And he said to her in the presence of the French commissioner several years ago, quote, "You need to understand something. If Europe is under attack, we will never come to help you and to support you. By the way, NATO is dead. We will leave. We will get out of NATO," quote unquote. This is a conversation with Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, witnessed by Thierry Breton. He's the French commissioner. And you might say, come on, Matt, how could that have happened? I'll tell you that could have happened. When he first was president, Trump, there was a woman named Theresa May. She was the prime minister of Great Britain. And then Angela Merkel, of course, of Germany. He'd call them each up and tell them they were stupid and weak. He would use those words. Theresa May sort of got shaken by it. Angela Merkel was a little tougher. But he talks to people like that. He talks to people like that. And this is what he said. If he gets back in, our allies in Europe are in tough shape. All right. Coming up, you won't believe what the UN teachers, there's a teachers forum that's funded by the United States, said about the Gaza invasion of Israel. And I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. We'll get back to you very shortly, right away. Blood is the rose of mysterious union.
Yeah, blood in the streets is up to my ankles. News from the center, WRCE. It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on News from the Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Sharky of Racine, my friend. Thanks for calling, Sharky of Racine. What's on your mind today?
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity. I don't claim to be an expert on the wall, but basically, two and two should always make four. And before our last president left, he did a maximum build on the wall of 11 miles. He left approximately 1,950 miles left to go. These people that are uneducated in what the wall is and what the contour is and what the logistics are in regarding of shutting the wall and that whole debacle, people, technically speaking, it is believed that, not believed, but it's termed that our border is actually closed by technicality. But that doesn't mean they're not sneaking through. So, I mean, how much work and how long would it actually take with, the tough obstructions with all the ins and outs in the water? I want to get a good map, and I want to look at this myself. But there, it's a pipe dream, and it's talking points for the people like Voss locally, Siles and CD1. It's scary. It's scary. They're using it. They're insulting us Americans who are at least got a half a brain.
Right. Sharky, that's a great call. And let me give you some data on the wall, and then I'm going to go to the next caller. Do not hang up. Right now, there's plenty of wall down there, hundreds of miles. That was put up by Democratic presidents and Republicans. You have to have a wall, for instance, Tijuana and some of these places. If you had no wall, people would just walk up the street into the United States. You have to have a wall. No one disputes that. The question is that Trump pretended there was no wall and there's plenty of wall. And he said, let's do it for the rest of it, the 1,900 miles. Well, a lot of that is scrub. A lot of that is impassable. And there are other wall plans contemplated for the high density areas. No one disputes that. So look at a map, but you have the Rio Grande, but people swim it, they wade through it. What we have got to do is have money down there to have more agents. And we have got to, in my judgment, these are basically economic refugees. And people are coming to that conclusion. They simply come from poorer countries and they want opportunity. I agree. And that's great, except there are 8 billion people in the world and 5 billion or more would love to come here. I love them, love to have them here. We can't possibly have them all. It has to be done in a more orderly fashion. And right now there has been a roadblock in the House and in the Senate that's got to break. Thanks a lot for calling. David Amequan, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, David?
Good afternoon, Matt. In relation to the law, I just point out a couple things. One, the current administration, the parts where the law was not finished, President Biden has actually sold off for pennies on the dollar the remaining wall that was not put up. That's number one. Number two, you know, walls do work along with additional security. How do we know that? We build prisons. And prisons have walls, they have guards, they got all sorts of security. And unfortunately, there's a civil war going in Ecuador right now as we speak. As a matter of fact, it's they have the military out there, and they're battling against the cartels in Ecuador as we speak. So at the end of the day, you know, if we can spend money on Ukraine's border and secure their border, there's certainly no question that we can't do that the same for ours, because having 300,000 or 302,000, I think it was an all-time record this past month in December, that's more than the entire city of Madison every single month. I mean, it's just, that's not sustainable. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, thanks for calling, David. I want to burrow down on that a little bit. There are hundreds of miles of walls on the Mexican border, and they were supported and put up by Democratic and Republican presidents. They're absolutely essential where they are. The question is, do we need like a 2,000-mile wall or 19,000, you know, the Great Wall of China? In these rural areas, if they're not monitored, people are going to get over them anyway. And there are a lot of other ways to do this. One way is more border agents. The other is that you don't let people apply for asylum unless they apply in the country they came through, which in that case would be Mexico, or if it's from Ecuador, it would be other countries in between. Number three, tell them they have to apply at the American embassy or consul in their home countries. Number four, don't release them and then expect them to come back, you know, 5 months later, but you're going to have to start closing part of the border. At the same time, I agree that immigrants have been the foundation of the country. My own Irish ancestors came over in the 19th century, and I absolutely understand what people are going through. But you also have to run a country, and you can't run a country without borders. So there you have it. I appreciate the call. Northwoods Terry, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind in Northwoods Terry?
Yeah, Matt. I just want to say I heard that a lot of those, that figure 300,000, a lot of that's repeat people. That's not individuals that are making up that number. It's repeat people coming across. They get sent back. They come across again. So it isn't actually 300,000 people. It's they're getting doubly counted. That's all I was going to say, Matt.
Yeah, Northwoods Terry, thanks a lot. I always enjoy your calls. Yeah, no, I think there is some of that. And frankly, 90, 95% of the people coming over are good people who want to work. And they work very, very hard. And everybody that's coming up from South America, Central America, from Mexico, is essentially compatible with our culture. But you do have people slipping through. There's a lot of people flying into Mexico. You can easily fly into Mexico City. They're flying in from China. They're flying in from the Middle East. They fly in from Africa and everywhere else. And then they come across the border. And I think that has to be controlled. It absolutely has to be controlled. There have been some people who have been picked up who are on the terror list, the watch list. And you can't possibly think statistically that we got everyone, that we nailed everyone, because that is not the case. So something's got to be done by there down there, and it is having an impact on the election. We'll talk about that more in future shows. Well, we're coming up on the next show, a great one, Devil's Advocate with Dominic Crute. Great callers today, a lot of you. I really appreciate it. The callers make this show. I learn a lot from you callers. I really appreciate it. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.